Are you seeing it? Okay, let's use this one then.
Hallelujah.
So she's seen, she has vision with this one.
Oh. Praise the Lord.
I wonder who.
All right.
You need some to set behind it.
Yeah, let me put it this way.
There.
Okay. So are you seeing? Hello? Hello?
Yes, I can see, I can see.
Okay.
Praise the
Lord. Yes. The guy pushed his eyes.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, so we have an international meeting here. Well, it's like God is promoting you guys from just having local and you're going global. Amen. Okay, so I just wanted to go through the principle we were discussing, the natures of the soul. You know, so I want to just we'll try and look at the background, and then maybe tomorrow we can climb higher if we can. You know, but you know, today, so we're looking at, is there a cleaner for this? Is it this? Something to clean?
Oh, like
a rag.
No, I've got a rag.
Okay, no, okay, yeah. Oh, let's even try the tissue. This paper napkin.
He can use the
napkins. I can use the napkins if it can, please. Oh, it does well.
Does it well? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you missed the spray.
Oh. Okay, so we're looking at Cornelius, and so we will, if you will imagine four circles, and then we have six circles here also. Okay, so this is the soul, all right, and then this will be the soul right here. Okay, so this is the spirit of man of right above the soul. Okay, this is, are you good?
Oh,
now
yeah, I'm fine. I can see.
Okay, all right, and then
why is that number fifth one, why is that one the soul?
Well, you will see. So this then will be the spirit of God. This will be the spirit of God. And this will be Christ, the Spirit of Christ. And then this will be the Father. Okay. Kevin, are you good? Maybe you might want to go there. So is it clear now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see. All right. So this will be the flow of life. From the Father, and then your spirit, and then the soul area, and then the body. So I would use this to represent the body. So this is 1, 2, and 3 in the order of resurrection.
Praise God.
So this is the order of resurrection. Okay. And also the order of death. Okay. All right. So we are reading in Acts. We've seen that in Acts. We've seen it in Ezekiel. So Acts 10, Ezekiel 1. You can see Ezekiel 10 and also 16. And other scriptures. So it says here that the man had four natures. One was, he has the face of an eagle, Okay, and we will say the ego is the same thing as the mind. It's the nature of the mind. Okay. And then he had the nature of an ox. Okay. Or Revelation says nature of a calf. So we know that's the will. And then this is the emotion, which is seen as the nature of the lion. And then here it says the face of man. So I would say the nature of a fallen man. That makes it clearer. And then that is the desires. Okay. Which is the same as the nature of the creeping things. So, of course, we've seen it in Genesis 2, Genesis 1. So we are looking at these three scriptures, and it is introducing something new, that we are not used to. And then the thing is, how do we relate this to the tabernacle? Okay, which a teaching which you know. I don't know. Why do I squeeze in that now? Okay, well, if you... Our dimensions are not very big, but you can still squeeze it in. So if you take this to be the tabernacle, so you have the outer court, you have the holy place, and then the holiest of all. So the question is, how does all this relate, in our own daily experience? No, but when we read in Acts chapter 10, there was a prophetic word. And what it said is, what I have cleansed, you should not reject. So in need, there's a word. God is saying, these natures can be changed.
Yes, amen.
That's the prophetic word. Because in the mind of Peter, these were creatures and natures that couldn't be taken in because you couldn't fellowship with it. So if God is saying don't fellowship with them, don't eat them, don't take them in, don't partake of them, then it also means that God himself cannot fellowship with those things, cannot partake of those things. Because it says, be ye holy as I am holy. So he's asking them to do what he would do. Alright? So if God down the line says, look, I have cleansed these natures, eat of them. So it also means God is saying, look, there is a place in me, there is a provision in me to bring a change to these natures. That is in the spirit. That's what God is saying. So now, when the word comes to us, now again, like as if you take your mind back to what we were looking like in the morning, all right, you're looking at darkness. All right, now in the midst of the darkness, God says the Spirit of God is there, and that Spirit of God brings in light in that setting. Okay, so. If you using that principle, you can also say that these natures can be in darkness. So it can be in the setting of darkness. So if you say that all this can operate within the setting of darkness, all right, and is that not what happened in the Garden of Eden? Alright? Now, Adam was there. So if you assume that this is Adam, so this is giving us, well, we're looking into the soul of Adam and his operation. Adam, within him, was fellowshipping with God. In other words, this is the spirit soul of and body of Adam. Alright? And he was fellowshipping with God. He was receiving life from Adam. From God. Okay, so now, let's look for scripture for that.
Okay, question.
Yes.
When he fellowshipped
with God. The eagle wasn't there. The lion. It wasn't a fallen soul.
Yes, it wasn't a fallen soul. But so we are tracing. We are going backwards. Okay. All right. Because we know the result, so we want to trace what was there before.
Right.
Good. Now.
I thought he was fellowshipping with God because Adam was the one that was made in his likeness, which was the light, was before he fell, right?
Yes. Okay, he did. But we want to bring out more detail.
Okay.
Because the detail is important for my overcoming today. You see, and because we just know it in our head, we think the tabernacle is knowledge. We know outer court, we know this, we know this, we know this. And then we'll switch off. We'll switch off, throw the key away. No? It is an experience.
Yes.
It is a walk. And when we look at it, you will see it will be clear. So now, if we back up, it says, God took clay. That's the body. All right? Now, it says, he breathed into the clay. All right? And Adam became a living soul. Do you understand? So, in other words, the life of God came into Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a flow, there was a constant flow of life that was coming to Adam. All right? Now, when Adam sinned, something happened here. There was a break.
Okay.
In that flow. So, in other words, Adam in his mind had access to the mind of Christ. You understand?
Before the fall.
Adam had, you see, he was walking with God in the cool of the day. So he was having fellowship. Now, when God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to your emotions. He says, and the Lord spoke. He didn't say the Lord made Adam feel good. So, God speaks to the mind. So you will say, you know, he spoke to Adam. And that life flowed to his emotions, his will, and his desire. So this was what was happening. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, sorry, Genesis 1, it said there was a river that was flowing in Eden, and it had four parts. All right? So it could only be this flow of life. Because when you say God breathed into Adam, God doesn't need oxygen.
That's right.
God doesn't need oxygen. It could only mean that he poured himself into Adam. In other words, there was a flow of life that was coming from God into Adam.
Energy.
And if God did it for Adam, it means that you and I are supposed to receive life from God that way. So the life God has for me must come through my mind.
Jesus.
Now, if I do not open up my mind to that life, it will just be foreign to me. The life is there, but I'm cut off. And you can see, when man is born into the world, we already have that nature. You see, sin has made the separation between you and me. You understand? So, as a matter of nature, our mind is naturally cut off from God. That's what we're talking about, the negative way of thinking. It is natural that your mind is cut off from God.
Yes.
You know, so I need to make an effort to open my mind.
Yeah.
And when my mind opens up to God, life flows in. All right. So if you imagine, since you came in this morning, how do you feel? Do you feel better or you feel worse? Do you feel closer to God or you feel far away from God? How do you feel?
Yeah,
amen. Good, because your mind has opened, or you've been receiving life. But do you know, this can be a normal experience with you. That even if we are not here, that in your relationship with God, your mind is always opened. So you're always receiving life from God. Alright? So this is what, you know, the tabernacle is supposed to mean. Now, he said to Adam, sorry, to Moses, he said, I will meet you at the mercy seat, all right, in this place. But you see, the separation between, there's a veil, I have to break through the veil to come into the holiest of all, you know. So if I'm going to fellowship, then I have to break through the veil. Okay? Now, these veils are these barriers in our minds.
Yes.
All right? So you can see the principle all around. All right. Now, so let's look at the scripture. He told Joshua, this book of the law must not depart out of your mouth, but in it you must meditate day and night. So Joshua was going around with the Bible in his mouth. Where is the Bible? Is that what he was doing? He had the Bible in his mouth. Is that what he did?
No.
But that's what God told him, that this book of the law must not depart out of your mouth.
Need to keep talking about it.
Well, that's not it. But you must do what?
Meditate.
Thinking about it.
That's the mouth. You understand? So the mouth he was speaking about is the mind. The mind is the entrance into the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. The advertisement, everything in you see, 90% of everything you meet is designed for your mind. 90% of all that you are seeing is designed. The other 10% are for your ears.
That's why the devil attacks our mind.
Now you're talking. Yes. He attacks our mind because you are seeing things, you are reading newspaper, you are hearing things. And if you are not seeing, if you are not hearing, he has no access. So, if you want to overcome, what you do, first you switch off the devil.
Yes. Amen.
And switch on God.
Amen. Praise God.
That's the practicality. So that's why you see this is connected. So, if you're looking at the tabernacle, as where outer court is 30 feet, 40 cubits, all those ones. Fine, those are details. They're good. They have their, but it must be put into practice. So now when you come into this, let's come to the tabernacle. Now when you come to the tabernacle, you see a structure here. You see it has four sides. What are those four sides? You call it the brazen altar, isn't it?
Brazen laver.
No, brazen altar is the first one.
Okay.
The first one is altar. So what is that altar? Well, let me make it easy. It's the mind. It is the soul. The soul has how many parts? Four. So this soul fell out of fellowship with God. It fell into darkness. All right? So if the soul is going to get back into God, The soul must come through this gate. So the soul must come through the gate. Now we know you're born again. That's good, but for our own application, the soul must come through the gate and must come to a place of judgment. So you can confidently say that outside of the tabernacle is darkness. So this was the darkness we read in Genesis chapter 1. Outside the world, in the world we have darkness. So the whole world lieth in wickedness, in darkness. But there's a place where you have light. Where is that? In the tabernacle, remember? When you look at the tabernacle, you see a white fence. It's white. That's the when you looked at the tabernacle from far, what you see is a white fence. And that white fence speaks of the kingdom of light.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come into the tabernacle, I'm coming into light. So he says that he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So this soul must make the journey from darkness into light.
Yes. Amen.
So the 7 days of creation, well, one way is to say it's historical, but I see it as man being created. Because you see, at the last day, he said, let us make man. In other words, by the time man comes into the sixth dimension, experience in God, it is fully established on the earth. So the tabernacle is actually speaking of my return into Eden. Man was cast out from the presence of God. All right? But in Christ, we begin to come back.
Yes.
And we begin to have access into the presence of God. All right. Now, if you look at Genesis, another scripture in Genesis says, God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So in Eden, the garden was on the east. Now, if you look at this picture, this is the east. This is the west. This is the this is the north. Sorry.
Genesis 2:8.
Sorry, I'm mixing it up. This is west. This is north, and then this is the south. Okay, Genesis 2:8.
2:8.
Good. So, the entrance into the tabernacle is from the east. So again, we are speaking of the mind. So, for practical purposes, if I want to change, if I want to reconnect to life, where I am constantly having life, one thing to do first is I must come to the place of repentance. That is, I must agree within me that I need to make a change. Now, I'm not saying that you need to make a resolution. Because resolution will not, that is to say, at the beginning of 2015, I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, that resolution may not last 2 or 3 days. The reason is that the will has no power.
Yes.
There's no strength in the will. Because the way God designed the soul, all the power must come from the mind. And Romans 8 says the carnal mind is led and ruled by the flesh. You understand? So if the mind is ruled by the flesh, the soul, in fact the will, is condemned to walk in the flesh. So if I make a decision, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to, it's not going to do anything. John 1 says that you are not born again by the will of man. So it's not by exercise of the will. So what we need is repentance. That my mind must come to that brazen altar. I must bring it to judgment. And that's what it means, that you say, let there be light. So the light of God must come, must shine into my activity. I must bring the word of God to bear upon my life. And James says, he called it the mirror. He says it's a mirror.
Yes.
So you come to the mirror and you see. But it says, what you see, don't forget it. You see it, then you must put it into practice. Okay, you know. So the judgment means I begin to bring the word of God into my circumstance. So in other words, that light that comes begins to bring a judgment. Now, when the word of God comes into my circumstances, it will create a response. It will cause you and cause me to respond to what that word has come, and that is what begins to bring a change. You understand? So that's what brings strength to to your will and to your emotions and to your desires. It's the word that you begin to read begins to create a new desire in you to see God. It creates a new desire in you to open your mind more to the Lord. You want to spend more time. You want to come to fellowship. You want to create, you know, the things you couldn't do before, you now begin to make. So in other words, you begin to receive help from God. So this response is not coming from you. It's not you sat down and say, okay, now I'm going to do this. No. You know, so that kind of change cannot be sustained. After a season, it will go. But if it's a change that comes as a result of the light of the word of God that comes to you, that word creates something. Now, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know, so the word of God you hear has power in it to bring a change. You know, so the other scripture says, the entrance of the word bringeth light. It brings deliverance. You understand? So, and it's all within what we're saying. The word comes through the mind. So he was telling Joshua, be thou courageous. Be strong. Do not be dismayed. Let this word not depart from your mouth. In it, meditate day and night. And then you will have good success. You understand? If you look at Psalm 1, let's read Psalm 1, the first Psalm. We'll just look at that principle and then I think we'll close. So we can. Because that's the practicality that where we can start. Psalm 1. Say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight. Delight speaks of emotion. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. So you see, as he meditates in the word of the Lord, he begins to change his emotion. Alright? So now, when we think about the change of the emotions, the thing is, when we don't have fellowship with God, because it says in his presence is fullness of joy, there's a satisfaction that comes as a result of being in God's presence. Now, when we are not in God's presence, my emotion must receive life. Therefore, there has to be a substitute. Food, television, entertainment, sexuality, sports, career, anything. It's all an open system. You are throwing in things, it doesn't solve the problem. Because the only thing that can solve the problem of the soul, of this emotion, is to get life from God. So, and that is what we see that we have done, is that the devil has given us an alternative. Alright, so we are given to career, we are given to family, we are given to children, you know, legitimate things. But at the root of it is that actually we are not touching base with life. Now, look at Jesus. He says, I have meat to eat that you are not aware of. Mm-hmm. And my wit is what? To do the will of God.
Amen.
So doing the will of God can bring energy and life to you.
Praise God.
It even affects your health. Yeah, because it says that this word of the Lord, see, it is life to thy bones. That's Proverbs. You understand? So the word of God has the ability not just to affect your soul, but to change the body. And the way this body functions, the way God created, by the way, this is the temple of God, this soul. Because Paul said, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" In the Old Testament, they had a physical temple. But for us, our temple is of the body. Because Jesus said, "Do you not know that if you destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up?" And he said he was speaking of the temple of his body. So in the new, it's not physical, it's now this. So when you talk of the tabernacle, you must relate it to this temple, and you know, which we have brought here. So in this arrangement, the life of the body must come from this, from the soul. And when the life of God begins to come into the soul, the body will begin to change. So you're looking at the scripture in John that says, "I pray that you might be in health, even as your soul prospers." So as the soul is receiving life, it's rising in God, the body will go with it. The body will change. So we are coming into a time when the body will change. David said, "My soul, praise the Lord." In other words, he was saying that you can speak to your body. You can command your body to submit to God. Just like you can command your soul. David said, "My soul, wait on the Lord." You know, so we sometimes see our emotions rising. We see things working in us. We can speak to it. We can speak to the circumstance. You know, like he said, prophesy to the dry bones. We can speak and prophesy to ourselves, and our soul will be quiet. You understand? So I would like you to think about it, to look at these principles. You know, if you leave the tabernacle as it is just a concept, just something. You read, and it's very sweet. You read this, you read that, you know. But if you go a step further, to know you are the tabernacle, and that you should be the one going through all the steps. Therefore, it's not just enough to come to a place of judgment. You must come to a place of separation. That's the mind must be separated from the world. The mind must be consecrated to God. Alright? And as the mind is rising, it's pulling the emotions. So Paul says, "Set your affections on the things above and not on the things beneath." He says, "A carnally minded man cannot please God."
Enmity against God.
You understand? It's enmity. It's hostile to God. And it's not, if the mind is hostile, then his emotions, his desire, and one of the things he manifests is that that man will not be at peace with himself.
Right.
And if he's not at peace with himself, he cannot be at peace with his brother, with his brethren, in his family, at work. He's angry everywhere. It's the spirit of bitterness is eating him up. And that's why you see in the world there cannot be peace. Because the soul is separated from God that ought to bring life to it. You understand? So it's not a matter of conference or anything, it is life. And the key is the mind. So the devil attacks your mind so that you do not submit it to God. He said you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. I say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
They will mount up with wings as eagle. Now, mounting up with wings means there is something directed at you. Somebody is speaking bad about you at work or in your family, and it's come to you. What are you going to do? This is the solution.
Rise above it.
Huh?
Rise above it.
Amen.
That's it. How do you rise above it?
Yes.
In your mind. So,
that's right.
When you hear it, you turn your mind away from it.
That's right.
Ignore it.
Turn them over to the devil.
Don't respond to it. You start praying for the person.
Yeah.
All right? You start praying for the person, don't respond to it. And keep your mind, find a scripture that is addressing your situation.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, in 5 minutes, five, you will forget about it because your mind will have risen. So you see, the situation is still there, but it has no effect on you. The people are there, those things are not there, but it has no effect on you because your mind has risen. So it says in Revelation 12 that there was a flood that was released, but that the woman was given the wings of her eagle. That's the mind to rise above it. So the key is the mind. And if you look at this picture, it looks like a bed. Is it not like a bed? This is a bird. This is the head of the bird. That's the mind. This is the tail. These are the wings.
But wasn't that the end result? I mean, the woman, the church, the weaker church.
Well, it's good to say the woman and the church. But I know, but yeah. I rather prefer you personalize it.
Yeah.
That is you.
Oh.
It's you.
Yeah.
You see, if you start from you, the thing comes alive.
Amen.
It's you. So the devil is coming after you.
Yes.
All right. You see something, you are driving, you see a picture, or someone is not dressing good,
yeah.
Or somebody says something to you, or somebody, you know, those are practical things, and those things are sent to you to pull your mind down,
yeah.
Discourage you, bring your covering.
Yeah.
You know, on the plane, coming into San Francisco, the spirit changed.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was going from Bloomington, it was different. As I got to Atlanta, I got into the plane, flying, the atmosphere changed.
Mm-hmm.
If you are sensitive, you will know where the atmosphere has changed.
Yeah.
And if you submit to it, it brings you. It brings you under oppression.
Yeah, you're in a lower plane.
Exactly. Not just plane, in the environment or somewhere. You just see something changes. So God wants us to be in a place where we have dominion. Because it says, I create you to have dominion over the mind. The mind is always wandering, but you can bring it under dominion.
But
it's hard. What? Yes. Oh, yes, it's hard. But you see, the way to start, you must start one day. And the way to start is first, bring the mind to the altar. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God,
mm-hmm.
that you do what? You bring yourself as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Huh? And this is your reasonable service. I said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
If God says, I can cleanse these creatures, I say, God, I agree. Don't say, thou knowest. I agree. I agree means, well, it's difficult, but if God says, I can, then I will.
Yeah.
You know, if God says, you can, you say, God, how high? How far? You understand? So, it is that response in your heart. God looks at your heart. He says, you will know of the doctrine if you will do it. So, if there is a heart in it, say, oh God, I can't, then he says, come. He will pull you. So, it's one step after the other. And the first step is repentance. It's the most important step. Repentance means, I come, I agree, something is wrong. That's the first thing. This lifestyle is wrong. The way my mind is working is not right.
Amen.
Then he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Amen.
So that step is you are turning back. Because repentance means you are going south, you stop, begin to reconsider, and you turn back. Then he says, except the Father draws you, no man can come. So he starts drawing you. And he begins to send word to you. He sends a word to you, speaks to you. As you respond to that word, he speaks another word to you. You respond. He speaks another word to you. You respond. He speaks. So if you don't imagine that you are going to do all at a time, it must be one step. And look at the steps. First step is repentance. That's the lever, the altar. Second step, you come to the lever. First step, you begin to walk by the anointing of the Spirit. Yes, yes.
Well, there's two things. On the picture you draw,
yes,
about the mind, the soul, and the ego. Isn't that what you drew there?
Yes, yes, yes.
I think that's
what it is. Yes.
What I saw one time, and this was when I was meditating on it, is I saw everything as you have it here, except for the where the wheel was.
Okay.
I saw it as the feet of the talons of the eagle that were
okay
holding it and lifting it.
Yes.
Sometimes the outside of the will of the flesh to want to move
yes
that way.
Yes.
But there is a dictate that the mind and the emotions working together.
Yes.
And it says a threefold cord is not
cannot
easily
be
broken.
Yes, that's right.
So I see that. Now, it also, as I was meditating on this time, I've often wondered about the scripture that says, and he took captivity captive.
Yes.
And it seems to me that, I'm saying captive, you understand. And it seems as though the body, in some sense, in spite of its desire to remain in the world, if the other operations
mm-hmm
of the spirit,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it is bringing broad mm
yes
to that higher
right
realm.
That's right.
As a captive.
As a captive, yes.
At least,
that's right.
At least in the initial
yes
working of it.
It will go with it. It will respond. Yeah.
The other thing that I want to say is that those seven pieces of furniture are like seven trumpets.
That's right.
They are blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come into the Lord on the first trumpet, which is repentance,
mm-hmm,
that trumpet continues
to blow. That's right.
Yes. And as you come into the second trumpet, the first trumpet is
still blowing.
So that means that repentance is still working in your life at each station of the operation
yes
of God.
That's right. That's right. That's
because
right
it is repentance.
Yes.
Unto salvation.
Yes.
So it is something
yes
that is on the continuum.
Yes.
And same with the second.
Yes, and it goes all through. You know.
So, Lord, are you saying that through revelations, the trumpets are sounding right
yes
now?
Yes, yes, okay, yes, yes. Yeah. In fact, the first trumpet
has
salvation.
Yeah.
He goes to the second one, the red beast that was riding.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, the black, has to do with the wheat. He said the barley
mm-hmm
and the wheat, but hot not the oil. The barley speaks of the first experience. The barley harvest speaks of being born again.
Yeah.
The wheat harvest is the second that's been baptized with the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
right?
Mm.
You see, those two we go,
yeah,
and we have seen it in the world that the Pentecostal church is out.
Yeah,
I mean, if the traditional church is out completely, we see hot not the oil and the wine. That is the last feast, which is tabernacle, because that's where the fruit is harvested.
Yeah,
and the fruit, the oil, you get it from the olive.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
yeah.
You harvest olive at the end of the harvest, which is at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah.
You understand? So he said, do not hurt. That means in all the things that the devil is doing,
mm-hmm,
if you begin to walk in that experience,
yeah,
so all the things that the devil is doing cannot touch you, can't affect you. You will be on top.
Whoa.
You understand? So all these trumpets are blowing continuously.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So, so that's the reality. So he's saying we must begin to make a response to God. We come to this brazen altar. This now the third one is what we are discussing. Where you see when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God comes into your spirit. He said that we have received the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a seal. All right, a seal is I want to buy the car. $10,000. Here is $1,000. It's my down payment. It is a promise. I am going to bring you the other $9,000 at the end of the month. So when we receive the baptism of Holy Spirit, it is a promise. He calls it the promise of the Spirit.
Yes.
You understand? Now, what is the reason for the promise? That the Spirit of God will also fill the soul. All right. So, when you receive this baptism, the Spirit of God comes into your spirit. And this experience means the Spirit of God now begins to extend its operation into the soul. And this is what he calls the wise virgin.
Yes.
This is the wise virgin that must have oil in the vessel.
Yes.
Alright? So that means you are beginning to come into the experience of the holy place. Now, in this holy place, you have light. There are seven lights burning. There are seven lamps of fire. There are seven
candles.
Yes, you know the candlestick. Okay, good. Alright? But see, what does that mean? That's speaking of enlightenment, discernment within the soul. You understand? So it means the light of God begins to quicken your understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now, this understanding is to discern darkness, to discern sin, to discern unrighteousness, and to turn away from it. You understand? So, we need to come into this place. For it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. This is the place of maturity, where we can see in the Spirit. We can discern. And many of the times, we don't have discernment. We just respond to
yes.
to issues. So, the devil wants you to go north, he hits you in the south. Alright? He hits you and he knows you are going to go this way. So the way to get you to go this way is to hit you here and you respond. All he needs to do is to send your brother against you and he responds to you. The devil knows where he wants you to hate your brother and to generate thoughts that he will use to bind your brother. Alright? So he sends your brother against you. So when things happen to us, we need discernment. And that is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. And you say that you have an anointing within you that teacheth you all things. But how many times are we listening? Are we sensitive to that anointing of the Spirit? So what we have is enough to put us on top of the devil. We have enough to be. But the reason why we are not is because we are not descending. We have refused to come into this whole dimension. You know, so the baptism of the Holy Ghost is supposed to bring my soul into a completely new experience. Alright? And let me end with this scripture. Proverbs 20:27.
What is it?
Yes, go on. Proverbs. Okay. We'll end with that because I think I've gone...
Oh, that's 27, did you say?
I think it's 27:20. Is it 20:27? I always mix it up.
20:27.
Okay, Proverbs 20:27. I always mix it up. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 20:27. That's the last scripture we're reading. And we'll... Proverbs 20:27.
22:27?
Yes.
Chapter
20, verse
20:27.
It's very sweet, very easy to remember. Just think of 20:27. It says, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, giving light to all the parts of the soul. And that is, so here is the Spirit of God receiving light from this. Here is Spirit of Man receiving light from the Spirit of God. And the purpose of all this arrangement is to enlighten the soul. I remember Paul said that the God of this world has blinded the mind. Alright? Another one says, as long as the old covenant is read, that there is a veil over the mind. So the mind naturally is veiled. So this man doesn't know who God is. Must be taught. The eyes must be opened. Those brethren on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was with them and they were completely unaware of who he was.
Yes.
You understand? So many of us are involved in fellowship and church. We don't know the Lord. We're just doing business. We're just doing church business. It takes a revelation. And he says, as the As he broke bread with them, their eyes were opened. And they saw him. And he disappeared from their sight. You know, so there is an experience. There is something we need to have beyond just fellowship. We need to see the Lord. And how you know you have seen the Lord is that it causes you to be slain. But it brings a submission. That is, you cannot continue the way you are going. John says, I saw him and I was slain. Daniel did the same thing. All the people that saw were completely... That revelation changes the man's life. Look at Paul.
Yes.
Paul was going, and he was going one way. He met the Lord and his life was completely turned around.
Yeah.
You understand? So we need that personal revelation of Christ.
Well, I think we need something like Paul, where he's blinded and then he was spoke to because he persecuted the church.
Yeah.
And then he just, you know, he knew that he had an encounter with God. He didn't know who God was until God spoke.
Exactly.
I think we're blind until we do something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and that's what this is saying, that
yes,
man comes, even though when you're born again, essentially,
yeah,
the mind is still foreign to God.
Yeah.
So we need to... Paul was praying, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. So we need to pray that prayer with Paul. Paul was praying it.
Yeah.
It needs to be a constant approach. When we come to God, we're asking God, open the eyes of my... Open my eyes that I may see you.
Amen.
Open my ears that I may hear your voice.
Amen.
And when that happens, you see the whole operation comes alive.
Yeah.
Because you see, something begins to come true.
Yeah.
You know, you see a new vision, a new emotion, a new desire, a new will, and how you know is that it begins to separate you from the carnal, from the earthly. You begin to rise in your operations and considerations and so on. You know, so I will stop at this point. But it's very practical, you know. So it's something that maybe when you meet together, you can go over it again, discuss it, and see how you can apply it to your everyday situation. It's not something, it's not a theoretical thing. It is an everyday thing that you can find, you can use to overcome in your circumstances. Praise the Lord. You know.
Little jokes, before you have question answer time, can I just read that?
Please do, please do.
This is Ephesians 1.
Yes.
In verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes, this is verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Ephesians
chapter 1, verse 17 to 22, I think. Is it 21? 21, yeah. Then the other scripture is I think it's Luke 24, the one on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
I think where Jesus was breaking bread with those two. I think it's 24.
I think it's
24. Just
see. Sissy, could I get a copy of those scriptures just so I can?
Oh, you mean just write it here?
Yeah. That way I can reread that. Yeah, it's Luke 24
mm-hmm.
and 31. Well, I'll read.
You can just read it.
Okay. And but they constrained him, verse 29, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent." And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, and took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
That was after he was raised. Just vanished. Just disappeared. Well, I mean, that would have been kind of a bummer, you know. Your eyes were open, and then you knew him, and all of a sudden, gone.
The next verse, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?
That's pretty good.
Yes. So there's a lot here. So you can put your, you know, bite your teeth into it.
Yeah.
And chew on it. So you need to go over it. You need to look at the scriptures. Maybe when you meet together, you know, you go over the scriptures, discuss it.
Are you going to meet that tomorrow at the that board?
I don't know. I don't know what the environment is like in the nursing home. I don't know what it's like.
I'll take it just in case.
Well, you can bring it just in case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring it.
I don't know if they make
more.
Well, praise
God. Well, I'm glad I made it tonight.
Well, with God, all
things are possible. Praise God.
Well, if they get another job, I won't have all these chores. Just like survival stuff, that's what I got to do.
Okay, thank you.
I have to go kill an animal. I just got to go shopping.
Oh, 17. Oh.